Good afternoon and welcome to our weekly podcast on Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com, and my guest today in our University Hall studio is very familiar to UVA football fans, and that's All-American safety Quinn Blanding. Quinn, great to have you on the show again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Seems like an eternity ago, but I recorded a podcast with you and Anthony Harris a few years back. Ant was the seasoned veteran, and you were the new kid. Lots changed since then, hadn't it?
Yeah, I'm not the new kid no more. I'm the old vet.
You're the
now,
old guy.
Returning, yep.
There was a great photo of you and Coach Mendenhall taken after the game in Chapel Hill that kind of went viral on social media. It seems like every time I see you these days, you're smiling, which is a great thing to see. You really kind of soaking in this final season and having fun with it?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, especially coming back, especially we're winning now as well, and just coming back to have fun and go out with a last bang. And it's nothing like smiling every day because I love this game so much, and it's grown on me for many, many years. And just to finally come here and change the program and change the culture around, it's just a really good feeling.
This was going to be your last season no matter what. How confident were you that the breakthrough would come this year? I mean, I know you knew it would come eventually with this coaching staff, but there are no guarantees.
Yeah, like you said, there's no guarantees, but that's one of the main reasons why me and Micah did decide to come back, because we knew what we can do and we knew what this team is capable of, and we just knew from winter workouts to fall camp, we knew what this team could be, and we know how dominant we could be and how successful we can be now while we have the right people right now to do it, to lead the other people, to as years come, they can keep leading and leading to have this program at a dominant level. And it's just nothing better to come back and just know this is what we're going to do.
Coach Mendenhall entrusts the team's older players with a lot of responsibility, doesn't he? You mentioned the offseason. The offseason workouts are, for the most part, player-organized and player-driven, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. In the offseason, winter workouts, we had our strength staff.
With Coach Wentrick, yeah.
Yeah, with our strength staff. But, you know, other stuff we wanted to do was player-driven. And, you know, in the offseason, he came to me, Micah, you know, he went to Donnie, Benker, and all of them, and told us basically that, you know, you have to get these guys ready. You know, we're out recruiting, trying to bring the best guys we can here, and it's on us. If you have any questions, you know, you always can reach out, but it was all on us. I met with my DBs all the time, no matter if we were just watching film, going over the playbook, and I made sure we went over every little detail to each call, to why, to when he's thinking about he might call it, and, you know, just to get them used to what we're going to do. And then we had this thing called, it was like a player ran 7-on-7 that we ran by ourselves, just to show that we're responsible to go out there and do what we're supposed to do with our own call sheets and just certain calls that we would call. And we just went from there. So it's great to see that the leadership that we have on this team is very strong.
So you're a task unit leader, I'm guessing. How many of your teammates are in your task group?
It's like 14 of us.
And they're not all – you don't have all DBs, though, do you?
No, I have some of them, though. I have some of them. It's just I got the luck with the draw in the draft that we picked them in. But, you know, you have a range from everyone. And, you know, you just work together as one task unit when we have task unit games and or we have, you know, special things for task units. So you all work together. But it's just something to really make us compete against each other.
Your next game is Saturday at Scott Stadium against Boston College. There's a lot on the line. With a win, UVA would remain at the top of the Coastal Division standings in the ACC and also, of course, become bowl eligible for the first time since 2011. At his press conference Monday, Coach Mendenhall acknowledged that becoming bowl eligible is a goal for the team, but he also said this team has higher goals than just winning six games. How do you kind of strike the balance between getting excited about this opportunity but keeping your eye on the big picture too?
Our big picture and what we preach every day is go 1-0 this week. That's the biggest thing we preach. And like you said, yes, it's a great goal to reach, you know, be bowl eligible, and it's very exciting to, you know, get to that point. And also, you know, reach bigger goals and make it to the ACC championship and play for the ACC championship and win it. But we got to go 1-0 each week. We can't take no team lightly because this is the ACC, and we know ACC play is really big, and everybody's going to come with their best shots and their best foot forward. So, you know, just we got to stay focused on the task at hand this week, and, you know, the outcome will show. And then once the outcome shows, then we can celebrate for that day. And then after that, we got to get ready for our next opponent.
As you mentioned, you had a decision to make after last season, as did Micah, about whether to come back to school this year or to leave early to pursue an NFL career. Micah, he was at JPJ on Monday for the press conferences, and he indicated that the decision was tougher for him, or tougher for you, than it was for him. He also said the way last season ended with that loss at Virginia Tech, that that made it a little harder for him to think about possibly going through that again. In the end, what made you decide to come back?
I just decided it was what was best for me. I knew going into last season, I was hurt the first four games, and it kind of set me back a little bit in my game and, you know, set a little back to the NFL, the, you know, with the grade I got back. But, you know, it's all motivation for me. It's just something that I can overcome now and show them who I really am through a full season that I've been showing, and, you know, just progress as a player and show them that I can do more than just be a tackler or just be someone, just a body out there, and I could be a real stud and, you know, the real playmaker of the defense that I have been. And, you know, it's just a blessing to, you know, all things happen for a reason, and this is my reason, and I came back, and you see what we're doing.
So at the midpoint of your college career, you get a new head coach and a new defensive coordinator in Bronco Mendenhall. Change can be difficult. Were you excited about the change? Were you nervous? Did you study up on Coach Mendenhall and research him on the internet?
No, I knew he came from a program that was very successful, and I knew he was a real strong defensive coordinator. I know he's the head coach, but you got to also put in the fact that he's a strong defensive coordinator, and he brings a lot of different variety of things as schemes go on. But, you know, I just had to get ready. I knew I was one of the leaders of the defense and leaders of the teams, and I know I just had to be ready to lead my team through anything. And no matter if we had a new coaching staff or the same coaching staff, I just had to knew I had to lead my team, and I had to be the one who was all the way bought in first before anybody else, so they can trust the process and they can trust me.
You two, you and Bronco, obviously have a tight bond. Was that there almost from your first meeting? Did you feel a kinship with him right away?
I think it took a little bit, because once he first met us, it was just like, okay, you know, we went on the winter break, and so we had some time to think about things. And then once we got back, we got things rolling, and just seeing how he is and just interacting with him on and off the field, and, you know, just having, you know, one-on-one meetings with him to see what he was thinking about, how do you see the defense playing, how do you see the schemes will play. And, you know, it built over time. It wasn't right away, but once we sat down and talked to each other, we knew we were more alike than anything.
In the win over North Carolina last weekend in Chapel Hill, the defensive backs had three interceptions. One by Brenton Nelson, one by Chris Moore, and one by Bryce Hall. There was a fourth ball that could have been a pick.
Yep.
You and Brenton went up for it. Did you break up his interception, or did he break up yours?
So there's a photo that clearly shows my hands are on the ball, and he knocked it out of my hands. But I give him credit for being there as well. Like you said, all those three guys that caught interceptions, I'm proud of them. We work really hard in practice with our ball skills, and, you know, on that play, I got to come down with it. That's just the bottom line, and, you know, we're very competitive at the DB spot back there, and we always say the ball's in the air, it's ours. No matter who it is, we're not going to let them catch it. And, I mean, I'm glad they didn't catch it, but that's how it goes.
Micah said the other day that Brenton is a magnet for the ball.
Yeah.
And seems to find him or he finds it.
Yeah, that's how it is. I always tell him, like, when we're in practice, if he catches an interception, it's just like, oh, Brent caught another ball. All right, guys, let's go now. You already know he's going to catch it, so let's just start the running, you know, get him to the end zone. But, you know, he works really hard at it. He's really bought into the system. He knows his role, and he knows the scheme really well, and he's very athletic, and he just has a knack for the ball.
Coach Mendenhall is your coordinator. Your position coach is Nick Howell, who has a lower profile. What's it been like working with him, and what have you learned from him?
It's been great, actually. It's been really good to work with Coach Howell. Just a bond we have, because he puts a lot of trust in me. He puts a lot of responsibility on me, and I really appreciate it, because a lot of coaches don't put a lot of trust and a lot of responsibilities on players to, you know, to make the calls on the defense that I have to do, because I'm essentially the quarterback of the defense. I have to get everyone lined up, and he puts a lot on me to make sure the young guys know what they're doing. Because sometimes he may be focusing on just one player or just one side of the ball, and I have to focus on the other side and also look at the field side for him as well, just to see what's going on and coach from the field. So where he could just sit back and just coach when we go to the meeting rooms, and I could just coach while we're on the field. So he puts a lot of trust in me, and I really appreciate him.
Jamie Sharper, who's a guy I covered many years ago when he played at Hermitage High School, finished his UVA career with 435 tackles, which is the most in program history. You're currently fourth on the all-time list, but you're only 17 tackles away from becoming the career leader here. I know you put team above individual accomplishments, but how much pride do you take in that, and what would it mean to leave here as the all-time leader?
It's one of the reasons why I chose to come here. I chose to come here to make an impact on this game and make an impact on this school. And why not go out with a bang and finish at the top of the school and tackles in the school program? It's a lot of tackles, but, you know, it's just an honor. It's a really blessing. It's just an honor to show what my game has done for me.
Now, on the flip side, when the defense is forcing three and outs like you are this year, your tackle totals go down. But I guess that's okay with you too, right?
Well, that's okay as well. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not a selfish guy. I'm all about team, and I've always been about team. You know, I do my individual thing, but it's all through the team, because you need 11 guys out there on each play to do your job and to get things done. So that just means all 11 guys did their job on that play, and I can't be more happier for this defense than what we're doing.
You and Micah are generally neck and neck in that race to see who makes the most tackles. Micah entered the program a year before you did. Mm-hmm. How has your relationship with him evolved over the years? Were you tight right off the bat, or did kind of grow into that?
Oh, we just grew into it. I know coming in first year, I mean, we talked because we played on defense together. We talked, but I was the new guy. So, I mean, I didn't really say much, you know, until we got into the locker room, because that was just the role of who I was, just because I was a first year. But as the years went on and as we played together, we knew we were going to be together for a long time. So we just knew this relationship had to be the strongest on the field at all times. And our communication since day one, since we both played with each other, it's just been amazing. And just to see the bond that we have built and the brotherhood that we have together now is unbreakable.
Last year, when Malcolm Cook was out for medical reasons, he assisted Coach Mendenhall by signaling in the defensive calls during practices and games. This year, that responsibility has gone to another player, Kirk Garner. That's an important role on the team, isn't it, that maybe people in the stands don't pick up on?
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that role. They just think it's just a normal play caller. And no, I have the most respect for Kirk. I came in, he was one of the hardest working dudes I've met, and one of the hardest dudes that will push you no matter what. And with him over there calling the calls, it's just not him just giving hand signals or just, you know, just doing it just to do it. He really puts his all into doing it. He gives us energy when he gives us the call. He gives us motivation. He pushes us no matter what he's doing. And, you know, it's a very big role that you have to play, especially being on this coaching staff as well. Our coaching staff does the same thing with with us running with us to the ball in practice, right, and making us force turnovers. And, you know, now this week, if they get a blade of grass, all the coaches are, you know, going crazy just because that's just what we do. And, you know, it just shows that everything is very important to us, no matter if it's from calling the play calls to being on the field to being on the coaching staff.
Your understudy this year, I guess you could call him that, is a true freshman, Joey Blunt. Mm-hmm. I know the coaching staff is very high on his potential. Hasn't gotten a lot of playing time from scrimmage because you're out there most of the time. But for people who aren't familiar with his game, what can they expect from Joey going forward?
Oh, he's going to bring a lot to the table. He's a very smart guy. He's just a first year right now. He's learning on the fly, but he understands the schemes. He understands concepts really well. He still has a lot to go and a lot to improve on, but he's going to be something special here. He's going to make people proud because of who he is and the character he brings to the game and just how he plays. And, you know, it's just going to be something amazing to see.
You're going to graduate in December.
Yes.
How important was that to kind of take care of that, you know, in your year back here? And that'll also allow you to focus on preparing for the draft, won't it, in the spring?
It's just a plus side to coming back as well. And I decided, why not? If I'm coming back, I might as well get this degree as well, because this degree will last me a very long time in my lifetime. And, you know, it could never be taken away from me. And, you know, it's just an honor to get a degree from here as well. But, you know, like you said, graduating December so I can just focus on strictly training and get my body right and, you know, getting my mind right as well for the next level.
You've been one of the stars of the Who Knows videos that are posted throughout the week on the Virginia Football Twitter account. There's a lot of laughing and joking in those clips. How much different is the mood in the locker room when the team is winning? I know everyone tries to keep spirits up and be the same guy every day, but it's easier, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier because we come in with a lot of confidence and swagger that we built, and it's just something that we drive on, something we thrive on, and just something that it makes us feel good about ourselves and where we can walk around with our chest up and not saying we're going to be cocky about it, but we're very confident of what we're doing and how we're doing it. So it's just, it brings a lot of laughter and fun with it.
I don't think this question has been asked yet on one of the videos, so I'll ask it. What's your favorite thing to do in Charlottesville that's not related to football?
I like bowling. I like to go bowling. It's just,
Are you a good bowler?
I'm all right. I'm pretty good. You know, I can do a little bit of bowling. But
who's the best bowler on the team?
I have no idea, but I'm going to say me because I'm very competitive and I wouldn't let no one beat me, but it's just something to do, you know, to get away from football and school at some times and just, you know, relax yourself and have fun.
I see on social media that a lot of other student athletes here kind of support you. Are you particularly close with anybody here from other sports, and do you like to get out and support the other teams when your schedule allows you to?
Oh yes, I'm very close to Isaiah Wilkins on the basketball team, Devin Hall. I just got real close with Nigel that just came in. You know, you got Lauren, Moses, Aaliyah. I know a lot of people. I try to get out to different events. That's the best part about this community, that we all support each other no matter what, through thick and thin. And you know, when my schedule allows me, I try to go to games here and there just to, you know, show my face and support, because I know they're supporting me and supporting us as well.
You are about to hit, or you may be in the home stretch of your college career. You have 3 games left at Scott Stadium. I know the team focuses on what it can control, and that's what takes place between the white lines. But that being said, how much does the fan support help, and how much would it mean for these games to have, you know, big, loud crowds?
Oh, that's the best part about it. We know it's we all we got. I've always said this to my team, is we're all we got. The people that are in that room is all we got. But we appreciate our fans, and we appreciate the support no matter where we are. And just to see the turnout, especially that what we're doing is something special. And it's nothing best to have your fans to be a part of something special that's going on here and to continue that legacy to keep supporting and, you know, and it keeps showing that we appreciate them and all what they're doing, what they're supporting and just coming to the games. And it'll just be a blessing to see the stands filled and just loud cheering going on these last three home games.
After the events of August the 12th, the team took the picture at the Rotunda and, you know, as part of the Who's Together campaign, and talked about how cool it would be to be part of bringing the community together again, to actually have that taken place some. That's got to be gratifying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, and a lot of people don't understand that. We took that picture just to bring the community together, to be the voice of the community, to show that, yeah, we're out here playing football and, you know, going to this fine university, but we don't forget about the people in the community, and we're always for the people in the community, and that was for them, and just to come together as a team and be that voice is just something special, and is that's why I said something special with this team is this is really going to happen, and that's what we're showing.
Well, good. Well, thanks again for your time. Good luck this weekend. Hope to see a big crowd at Scott Stadium on Saturday.
Yes, thank you.
In addition to football, there's UVA volleyball and men's soccer on grounds this weekend. For information on and schedules for all our teams, check virginiasports.com. As always, thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another podcast.